Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Basketball fans, the NBA Banter Podcast is back, and we're here to focus 100% on the NBA draft, which obviously is still ongoing. We are getting to the stage where, we're getting close to the end of the first round. Where are we anyway? I'm going to check right now, actually. We're getting very close to the end of the first round. So me and Marshall are going to break this thing down a little bit. We'll go through especially the first chunk of picks, give our takes on it. I think six out of the first 16 or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but I think six out of the first 16 picks in the draft involved a trade. So definitely active when it comes to that. Philly was kind of all over the place. Of course, teams put on a hat. They start answering questions, especially today. That really sucks sometimes. You know, you're like, yeah, man, sweet. I'm in the NBA and I'm at a press conference answering questions. And maybe it's not like the full-on press conference, but you are talking to the media where you just got drafted. And then next thing you know, you turn around and they take your hat off and say, hey, buddy, we got something to talk about. And it was like well known. Bridges, you know, from Villanova, from Philly, thought he was going to Philly, was all excited. Like I said, the news had already broke and he's still answering questions at the podium per se, like he's, you know, they flew him there live or whatever, but it's still a little messed up. You know, you're from Philly, your family's there, you're like, dude, this is really huge for me, and, you know, all that stuff. And then, oh, by the way, you're not going to be on this team anymore. So it's, we always kind of run into that. Tonight was a prime example of it going kind of too far, I'd say. You know what I mean? It kind of sucks. I mean, sure, you get drafted. That's great and everything. Phenomenal, right? But it still does kind of suck. But anyway, we are going to break down, like I said, the first chunk of picks, kind of go through it. Of course, with the Timberwolves selecting someone who I think potentially could be solid, me being from Minnesota, definitely got to go through that, talk about that a little bit. My co-host, who, if you've listened to the show, does not like Grayson Allen. And I told him, hey, if the Timberwolves freaking draft Grayson Allen, we're not doing a show tonight. How's that? How's that make you feel? We're not going to do that. There's just no way. And who knows? Maybe, you know, he'll have a really solid pro career. Maybe the guy that, you know, was drafted in front of him will turn out to be a much lesser of a player. You never know. I'm not going to sit there and act like I know this stuff. We've seen plenty of players, you know, turn out much higher than we thought, and or not higher, but, you know, better, and vice versa. So Anyway, I'm just making sure my switchboard gave me a little issues. It looks like it's good to go now. There are some callers on the line. Some of them I recognize from both shows. If you're just kind of hanging out, just wanting to listen, that's cool. You know, we're not going to put any pressure on you. but, you know, press one if you want to join in. I'm about to bring in my co-host. By the way, if this is your first time listening to the NBA Banter Podcast, usually it's called the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, but obviously the playoffs are done. So if this is your first time listening to it, we are under the umbrella of the Ropadope Radio Podcast. This is the home base right here. We stream it live, this show and the boxing show, on blogtalkradio.com/ropadoperadio. So we stream it live. It automatically archives. But we're also a part, you know, of a variety of different outlets. You know, you can get us on iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn. Through TuneIn and other apps, like the one on Spreaker, you can actually listen to the show on Spotify now as well. Not every single show from The Grueling Truth and Blog Talk get there, but ours generally gets on there. And speaking of The Grueling Truth, go ahead and visit thegruelingtruth.net. It's basketball, it's football, it's boxing, it's baseball. We got articles there. We got plenty of podcasts. Of course, we are a member of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. That's available on iHeartRadio as well. And like I said, you can stream it on Spotify. I know you can use TuneIn and search for it and stream it on Spotify as well. Anyway, go ahead and visit thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Visit thegruelingtruth.net. Listen to a podcast, read an article, and hey, while you're at it, place a bet. Hit the link for mybookie.ag. It'll send you right to the page. I'm going to shut up for a second. I mean, like, that's possible. I can't really shut. No one can really shut me up. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. Marshall, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Currently upset because I was hoping that the Golden State Warriors were going to land that Robert Williams from A&M. I mean, I'm not saying that we're a team that's in deep need, but as the draft's gone along, I'm like, oh, dude, that Robert Williams guy, like, he's still kind of chilling there. Like, maybe people weren't sure about him because he got in a little trouble earlier this year, or maybe he's a freshman and they're not quite sure. I'm like, oh, he's one pick away, and I refresh the computer and see that Boston took him. So I was like, damn it. But besides that, I'm having a pretty good day.
That you in the finals, too, at some point. You never know.
It could, because he's a prototypical, like, athletic big guy that Golden State uses. He's a rookie that comes off the bench. He would have been just kind of a nice pick, so we'll see who they take. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably take someone good. Their GM has had an extremely good track record, but I was kind of hoping for that, fingers crossed. When I was texting you, I was saying the one thing about the draft, Chris, and we took Jacob Evans from Cincinnati. I have no idea who that is. But the one thing about the draft that is kind of fun, because unless you're a person like that works for ESPN who does get paid to cover this, I feel like even you and I being great basketball fans of college, we watch quite a bit, it gets to a point where you start seeing these people drafted and you're like, did he really play for that team? Or how did I not see him? Or why is a Boise State guy being mentioned, like, in the first round draft picks? It kind of turns into, like, a Google search, I guess, competition of your team may draft someone. It's like, well, my, like, local beat writer, the sports station I listen to, hasn't mentioned him. So who is this person I'm going to now need to support for my team? And I think it kind of becomes funny that way because, like, tonight, like, we all knew, like, who the top people were. But after, like, 7 or 8, it's like, okay, well, this guy going next, like, who is he? So it kind of turns into a little bit of a, you know, do you recognize this name, or is he from a big school, or where is he coming from? And I don't know, I think that's maybe what kind of makes it fun and maybe what makes it kind of creative, I guess, to kind of sum up the thought process on a draft. Because I feel like you and I, Chris, most people probably only do know or remember the top people. And from that point on, you're thinking, like, okay, my team just took some dude from Georgia Tech, like, is he good? Like, what should I know about him? And then it kind of turns into a question and answer game where you kind of have to do some investigating.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, obviously, you're familiar with someone, but then, like you said, you go back and you've seen them play, or like you
sure.
said, maybe you've even just seen the name, but you're like, oh, yeah, I know, it rings a bell. I just, nothing, like, stands out to me. And like you said, a lot of times you got to go do your research, and then it comes back to you, you go, oh, that's right, dude. He hit that game winner. I do remember that, you know, that type of thing. And because there are so many damn teams, what is it, well over 300 in D1 for basketball in general. And you know, sometimes we get caught up in some of the stars, and next thing mm-hmm. you know, you get to the draft, and or not just the draft, but you get to the actual draft, and then when they get into their rookie year, and you go, wow, that dude got picked at 17? Like, this dude's a stud. You know, we see it every year. Obviously, San Antonio made a living off of it for, you know, well over a decade, almost two decades now. And so you're right. Sometimes you go, oh, yeah, I know that guy, but I was focused on the whole team. I got to go back and really break the – does he hit the three? You know, and there are some things that, like you said, he got to Google, no doubt about it. And then there's some players that you've seen and you know so well, but you know their limitations. And in the second round and late first round, mostly the second round can be full of those guys, you know, where you're just like,
yeah.
oh, no, he's a quality player, dude. It just, hey, it's horrible. He's a junior, you know. A junior and senior, they usually just end up in the second round no matter what you've done in your damn, you know, your college career. It just seems like it happens that much, you know what I mean, where you're just like, yeah, you know, I know him. I know him really well. But like you said, you know the ceiling too. So you kind of seen him. He's probably developed as much as he's going to develop, and he's probably not going to take those large, you know, gains in his game, you know, where he's just like, hey, I can jump up and get better at that or that. Not to say they're not going to get better, but you go, oh, that guy's a role player, or this, that, maybe he'll never make it. A lot of second-rounders never even make it, you know. So, yeah, you're right. It is, you know, actually a perfect example. You know, sometimes these overseas – this year the overseas guys, there wasn't as much depth, so you did know more of them. You know what I mean? And I guess next year's very similar, but then you look at a guy – like Anfernee Simmons, who I totally did not even know about this guy. And he's actually didn't go to college. He didn't go to college. He actually spent a year kind of like a postgraduate year.
Sure.
Like at the IMG Academy, much like that that Maker dude. Thon Maker? Yeah, Thon Maker. Not Thong Maker, but Thon Maker. And he did a very similar there. And I had no clue, because I don't go too deep on the high school level when it comes to that. You know what I mean? I'll just know. Talk about knowing just a handful of the top guys. That's exactly what I usually know coming in. And then you get a little bit better groove of them by November and December and whatnot once the non-conference has started. But, yeah, you're right. It's kind of funny how that works out. But, yeah, just like that name, I'm like, what? Like, I never heard of that guy. What? Oh, okay, he went postgraduate. That's a little different of a – and I guess he wasn't that impressive postgraduate. So we'll see how that works out. But
well, and I think – and then I'll get to talking about the guys because that's really what matters. But I think the other thing that leads to, like, bar arguments when you talk about your friends about the draft is how – you can fall in love with a guy who was an absolute stud in college, and yet his game won't translate to the NBA because the scouts don't see it that way. And you're like, yeah, but the dude does everything. Or then you see some guys get drafted tonight, and you're like, I didn't think the dude was that good. And he wasn't, but the scouts are like, oh, yeah, but all the potential in the world is going to explain why he's going to be a stud. So it kind of turns into a fun debate of, well, you know, dude, he wasn't that great. What's he doing going first round? Or it's like, man, I can't believe no one took so-and-so for my team, like he was such
right.
a great player for all 4 years. So, because I remember, I mean, that George's Niang guy in Iowa State, I mean, I realized he never turned to be a pro at all. But going in the draft, I remember arguing the blame, like, dude, he does everything you can look for in a pro player. Like, he's going to be a great player. And then someone in the lottery was like a freshman that really wasn't that good. But I remember my buddy saying, oh, dude, this guy's going to be a stud. It's like, well, he barely plays. Yeah, but the scouts see everything he needs to be in the future and be a player. So he kind of goes to those back and forth of predicting the future, and obviously there'll be busts tonight, Chris, and there'll be guys that, you know, you know, or maybe drafted in the 40s to turn out to be, you know, a solid player for 10 years, you know. But it does make for kind of fun debates back and forth and some predictions, and hopefully, you know, maybe make a bet with the buddy and see who turns out to be a great rookie and who turns out to be a bust. But the debate's always kind of fun.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, in football, you have 11 guys on the field with you. You can fit in better at a spot. This defense mm-hmm. works for you perfect, so you can, you know, you got a lot of help on the field to an extent. And it's just different. And maybe you only have one real job on each play, you know, that type of thing, and where you can go, well, this guy can fit into that, you know. And maybe you take him a year, couple of years, whatever. But with basketball, it's really strange because, like you said, I mean, sometimes you can go to Kentucky or other teams where you're kind of – you're on a leash and it's tight and you're not
sure.
able to show all your skills or your – whatever system it is. You're in the system. You're not showing your skills. There's been plenty of guys that just break out in the pros and you're like, dude, holy crap, this guy can play. I mean, just like
yeah.
Davis. Think about Davis in Kentucky. He was fifth on his team in scoring. He barely took any shots. Everybody was thinking, man – I don't know if he's that good offensively. We know he's going to rebound in D, but he's got a long way to go on his shot and all that. The dude can hit threes. You know what I mean? He's one of the most athletic dudes his size ever to play the game. Like, he's a top five player now, you know, and coming out, he was raw. People looked at him like he was raw, dude, you know, and you're like, I mean, I don't think he's that raw. He just wasn't able to show it that way, but he was dominant in his own way. What Kentucky needed out of him. And so sometimes, and not only that, but Marshall, but to get into so much of a, dude, just fire this dude. What the hell, you know? Or like you said, the other way where you're just so pumped, like, oh, dude, I'm going to watch him in summer league. Like, oh, my God,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you're so pumped. You get him in there and you're like, dude's not going to start his whole career. Like, we're lucky if he comes off the bench and is solid, you know? So I tend not to go over the top when it comes to this because there's just so much into it. Where you go,
oh, yeah.
the fit. I mean, there's just so much into it. But anyway, like you said, let's start breaking down some of this. Go ahead, finish your.
Yeah, I just think the only cool thing is when you get a player that plays for your favorite college and translates to your favorite NBA team. I've been a little lucky with that, with like Harrison Barnes and Golden State. You know, so it's kind of I think the coolest thing as a fan is when you see your favorite college guy go to your favorite NBA team, you're like, oh, dude, I get to keep turning this guy for another 4 or 5 years, hopefully, or something like that. But that didn't happen tonight, Chris. I don't think any Tar Heels are going to be drafted.
I was going to say, well, you don't got to worry about that.
I have no offense taken. We won a title a couple years ago, so we'll be okay. Luke May tried out, and the scouts said go back, and so he said okay. But with the draft, I will say, Chris, I think neither of us would have been shocked that DeAndre Ayton went number one. I'll just go through the top three, and we can kind of chit-chat about that. But Ayton went one. Marvin Bagley, from what I heard, appeared to be the only guy that wanted to go to Sacramento. He went two. And then Luka Doncic went three and actually ended up being traded to the Mavs for Trae Young at five. I think the Ayton pick is – probably the safe pick, Chris. He's a hometown kid. I would say from about midway through last year's season of college basketball, a lot of people were saying he was the best player. I guess I just didn't have a huge opinion on it because I simply didn't see many Arizona games. It seems like every time you and I tried to watch one or discuss it on our show, it would be on the Pac-12 network or for whatever reason I was working or I didn't see him. But, you know, you kept hearing about how this guy is a power forward that plays like, you know, a guy that puts up 30-20 sometimes. And Bagley is a guy at Duke who, surprisingly, it seems like I have a couple of buddies that think that Wendell Carter should have went above him. So I'll say, Chris, I think with Bagley, you get a guy that it's like really, really good in the post. And I know that this has become a league where you don't really value post players that much anymore, because it's turned into more of a three-point shooting game. And I hate saying this as a Carolina guy, but I think that Bagley is going to be okay because I think that the post moves he has are moves that most bigs don't nowadays. He can go in the post and make moves on people, and over time, if he bulks up in muscle and skill, he actually should be pretty good. And being a Sacramento guy, I'm kind of like, yeah, I can maybe make a little bit of an exception for a Duke player. But, I mean, if no one, if he's only dude that wanted to go to Sactown, and you're getting a big who's polishing skills, that's not bad. And Luka Doncic, he's the guy that everyone loves. Everyone's
Doncic didn't want to go to Sacramento?
From what I heard was Bagley's the only guy that really was interested in going. He
went there and put on the uni and all that. I know that. That does mean something.
Yeah, I just, I'm just, saying this based on, people I listen to from ESPN or, draft analyst people and all, or what news is reported. But so I kind of made you make sense. Oh, Bagley's going there. But for Doncic, I haven't seen the guy play. Obviously, I know that he has kicked butt for Real Madrid basketball. I know they're normally a soccer team, but his basketball skills over there have been phenomenal. So I think he's a complete steal of a player because I don't think, Chris, he's a guy you have to worry about, turn into a project. Like a lot of times you draft those people overseas and you get questions of, well, is this guy going to be something we can have this year? Is he going to stay in his hometown for a year? Is he going to need a while to translate from the European League or Spain League of Basketball to become an NBA? But all I've heard about this guy is that the dude can play basketball. He's on a hell of a team. He's been playing against the best competition in Europe over the past couple of years. He's been playing like nonstop basketball and continues to put up great numbers. So I think, for my opinion, Chris, I'm normally pretty skeptical, I guess, of European players just because you don't know what you're getting. But this one, to me, is kind of sold as the dude's a baller. Dallas should be incredibly happy, and I'm maybe more so a little excited for him to see what he's got. But the top three, I think the first two from what we heard for news was kind of a safe pick, and I think that Dallas should be incredibly happy they made that trade with Atlanta to get a guy to go back in the back order, Dennis Smith Jr. So Dallas is kind of more of a more entertaining team to watch now, my friend.
Yeah, and then a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr., it'll be interesting to see how he plays next to Gasol.
Sure.
And, once they get Conley back, it's weird with them, man, because even like the last couple of months, they got a couple of big wins, and we're actually like a feisty team down the stretch considering where they were in the draft, in the place, in the rankings, but in the standings, I should say. But so I kind of want to see how that plays out. I do like Jaren Jackson Jr. Bamba is another guy who you go, man, he's speaking of raw. He is a guy that has been in the States now for a little bit, but he has potential with that, that record-breaking wingspan and obviously, mm-hmm. He's got to get strength. I do want to see how he pans out. But Trae Young is a guy that we obviously talked about damn near on a weekly basis, even though his squad, faltered down the stretch. You could look at, head-up comparisons at the same age with, of course, he gets the Curry, look at it. Curry was a better three-point shooter at the time. Trae Young, obviously a better scorer and a better passer at that time as well. But like I said, they both took a lot of threes. I thought that sometimes Trae Young would settle for that. But when you're getting that much attention, considering who his teammates were at the time, that obviously plays into it as well. That might be a really good example of a guy who's actually going to be, because he was already a really great overall player if you look at just his stats. To score that many points and to lead in scoring and assist, it just doesn't happen. So this might be a guy who performs a lot better and a lot more consistent in the pros than he did at Oklahoma, especially the last 2 months, obviously. I mean, the first 2 months was like, holy crap, this guy can ball, and that's where he got the Curry from. And it's just like, oh, yeah, dude, this guy's a steal. He could dribble. He could, dude, he could launch up threes from way out. And there are times where, and we're going to see more of this. We've talked about this on the show plenty. We're going to see that where a guy puts up 10 threes a game and maybe he's 2 for 10. You're like, dude, once you're 2 for 6 and 7 and 8, stop shooting threes. You know, we see that in the NBA as well. It does bug you, and that's part of the game. But I kind of feel like potentially, you know, he could be even more of that November, December player, I guess you could say, than what we saw down the stretch. Obviously, the Hawks got him, but also got a protected first rounder for next year. So that's kind of interesting. Just going over a couple other trades, the Clippers, you know, getting Alexander, that's somebody that they really wanted. They got rid of Miles Bridges and two future second-round picks. That was at the time of proposed trade. The Mikal Bridges, though, that I was speaking about earlier, going to the Suns, he thought he was with Philly. Dude went to Villanova from Philly, was taking questions and all that. Even when it was news, Marshall, like, it was full-blown news that he was not going to be a Sixer anymore, still taking questions. They didn't stop it or nothing. They just let him go. And it's like, come on, dude. Sixers got that Zaire Smith in a 2021 first-round pick via the Heat. So that was kind of interesting there. I thought he would be a pretty good fit. At that, with Philly in general, you know, the 3-and-D, which is such a hot thing to say now, and mm-hmm. such a need. I mean, we could use some here. When I say we, the Timberwolves. And by the way, just because I know, being a North Carolina fan, you care about this. Last five NBA drafts, if you look at the top three selections, you know who has been involved. The Dookie. You have Jabari Parker. Excuse me. Jahlil Okafor, who is he still in the league? I don't. Last I saw him, he had his both hands up and he was scrapping in the street. People were actually debating him or Cat back in 2015, if you can believe it. Ingram, who's been a solid pro, still kind of finding his range. Now, Jason Tatum, last year, obviously a stud. And then obviously Bagley this year. I figured, you know, just to kind of poke at you as a friendly poke. Pause. You know, of course I'm going to bring that up because I know you're pumped about the Dookies, but you know, I wonder, you know, what Trae Young is going to do. And then I kind of want to jump down to Sexton, you know, and if somehow they were able to maneuver and bring in another big-time player to Cleveland, along with Love still there, being able to keep LeBron, and adding Sexton. I really like that. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I also like that Gilgeous Alexander. When they moved him, because remember, every year Kentucky has to go through that moment of just developing their team quickly. And it looks ugly at times, looks great at times, very inconsistent. But once they get it, part of that was moving that Alexander to point guard. And he really, you know, had the flow going. I thought that was interesting. So I want to talk about that. I want your opinion on Sexton, Trae Young. And then Michael Porter Jr. may have a redshirt year, but he may, at 14, be the steal of the draft. What do you think about those topics, buddy?
I was going through this in my head, and I wonder, as a pro basketball player, and you get drafted on this night, if you could control your destiny, and we kind of go in some crazy world here, would you rather get, like, I guess, the fame and better pay of being drafted like top 10, or would you prefer to be getting drafted from like 20 to 30, so you're still a first-round pick? Because I see a guy like Colin Sexton.
You're going
to
a quality team.
Yeah, you're going to, because, I mean, if LeBron leaves, Colin Sexton's going to be a potentially great point guard in the NBA. He's showing all the signs you can. But if LeBron goes, Cleveland's going to suck. Trae Young's going to Atlanta, who may be one of the worst teams in basketball next year, especially if they trade Schroeder. So Trae Young and Colin Sexton are two of the best guards in the draft, the first two taken, I think, yeah, from point guard standpoints. But you're going to two teams that's like, dude, you're going to – good luck. I mean, you know, if LeBron stays, Sexton's all going to be looking at maybe an NBA Finals his first year. But if he doesn't, like, dude, you're going to a place where it's in massive rebuild mode with an owner that, you know, he's going to say what he wants. But, dude, you're not taking to the shit by yourself. And Trae Young's a fun guy, but Atlanta, man, they're brutal too. So it kind of makes you wonder of like, dude, I know it's the praise and the accolades of I was drafted fifth or sixth, but it's like I'd rather be drafted like mid-20s to like go to like a Spurs team or Houston or Golden State or someplace that's kind of been on a run for a while that you know like, okay, I maybe won't start game one this year, but I'm going to be playing a lot of damn good basketball like for teams and I'm going to make the playoffs. So, you know, and I think that's kind of how I phrase it. If I think Sexton and Trae Young could both be great players, but I think they're going to take some bumps. I think you're maybe put in Trae Young kind of a tough spot if you want him to go to Atlanta and kind of do what he did as a last year in Oklahoma and do it again in Atlanta, where he is the primary scoring threat. Because, I mean, the pressure kind of got to him a little bit last year, and you're moving up now to a league where if you want to start jacking up shots on people in the NBA, they're going to let you do it because they're going to know your tendencies over tape soon, and it's going to be more difficult for you to, you know, just pull up and hit a three with the line being further back and all that. So it's kind of just a weird way for me to describe it because, man, Sexton, we talked about him a ton last year, Chris. Like, his numbers were phenomenal. Alabama's win-loss record against ranked teams last year was incredible, and that was due to him running the show. But if LeBron leaves, I mean – that
and, dude, if they
like,
ever get in a 5-3 game, we know he can perform.
he's got a resume. You're damn right. So, I don't know. I wish those guys well. I think they got the utmost talent. But then you kind of look at a little point, you know, that Doncic, well, okay, he's going to a crap team in the Mavs, but you got Harrison Barnes, who's pretty good lately. And you have Dennis Smith, and you have some – and they're a team that wants to always buy someone because they have Cuban. So – it is kind of just weird how, you know, wherever you end up, it's like, I don't know. It's just kind of strange. Like, Bamba going to Magic. It's like, dude, they seem to have a good draft pick every year, and they never seem to tie it together. So, maybe I would want to be – I mean, obviously I'm never going to be draft NBA, but it almost would be more of a easier way to go to the playoff teams. But I hope those guys have great years, Chris. I think that Sexton's maybe a little more of an overall round – consistent player, but he's not going to maybe drop 40 tonight like Trae Young can, because we've seen that from him. I hope that translates. I kind of wish people would stop saying he's a potential Curry. I think that, you know, you're maybe setting the kid up for a little bit of a tough comparison there. I think that's a little over the top, but I wish him well, but I just think they're going to be stuck in kind of a really tough spot, so, you know, they won't be on ESPN much. They're maybe going to try to put numbers, but it's going to be a tough condition for them. And you mentioned Shai Alexander after the 12 and 13 were the Clipper picks. Then he gets number 14, where this could be like kind of the Randy Moss like draft thing of, dude, you all passed on me because you didn't like me. And I'm not saying that Porter has a bad rap per se like they gave Randy, unfortunately, but the back injuries to Michael Porter Jr.
It's almost worse because it was just dumb stuff with Randy, whereas – you're looking at some major – I mean, the dude couldn't get out of bed from a hip injury the other day. What's that about?
Yeah, yet he was cleared to play for Mizzou in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You know, so it's like, But
you got a
you
back
Denver,
and a hip problem, and you're 19? Ouch.
Yeah, I know. But if you can get him to get his body in gear, as he – arrogantly and elegantly said, he feels he's the most talented player in the draft, and that's probably true. So if you're a Denver fan, you're thinking, okay, maybe we won't see him much this year, but in 2020, if he's all fully pieced back together, dude, we just got a steal of a player. So I respect the gamble. I mean, again, I guess since we're both Viking fans and friends, you know, that's the one thing that comes to my mind. Like, I could see Porter being a guy that's like, dude, 13 people pass on me. I'm like fully healthy now, like time to go and make up for it as to why people didn't take me. But on the other hand, Chris, if you are a GM, you're like, okay, this dude's got talent, but his back and his hip are giving him issues, and he's only 19. So, you know, how much of the farm do you want to risk on a first-round pick? Because, you know, for better or worse, I think that a lot of times fans maybe pressure NBA teams a lot in this situation, Chris, where they put so much emphasis on a first-round pick. I was listening to some guy talking this week, and they're like, well, if you're Memphis, would you trade the fourth overall pick in the draft this year for Harrison Barnes? And it was kind of a fun debate to me because, to me personally, it's like, okay, so are you going to risk, you know, roll the dice on a kid who's got potential or a guy that's been in the league for 5 or 6 years? Now, I bet most people, like, in the younger age, Chris, would say, you're an idiot. You got to take the fourth overall pick. Why would you trade that away for Harrison Barnes? I guess I'm kind of a guy that's like, dude, let's take a guy that's, like, proven he can hang in the league and has been averaging 20 a year. So I think that's a mindset nowadays where it's like, dude, how much you want to gamble? But I think most people, kind of with how maybe society, the media have become and put so much faith in the draft and the draft's all this, that they're willing to take a gamble on people compared to taking commodity. But I guess if I was a GM, Chris, I'd be like, dude, if you're willing to, I'll trade my pick if you can give me a guy that's proven he can be in the league. I know it's, I'm kind of going like with the poor thing here and gambling all together, but I think so many people nowadays are just so high up on let's go for the gamble instead of take something of a guy that's already proven. I guess kind of what are your thoughts on that? Are you kind of, you know, willing to roll the dice? Or as I feel like the draft has become such a huge thing where if you miss your first overall pick or first round pick, it's such a blow to you, but it's like, dude, you got a bunch of vets on the team. I don't know. I think the draft has become maybe almost too hyped, and that puts the GMs in a tough spot where they have to deal with all the backlash from the fan base if they do happen to miss. And if there was a safer bet, I'd be in a camp of taking that route.
Well, as a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, with Kevin McHale in control of the ship for quite some time, I would much prefer to take the veteran that you know what you got, or at least a mix of that. Of course, you're not going to always do that, but we had plenty of picks that we missed. I mean, plenty. We all know the names. And, yeah, so in fact, perfect example tonight, if Wiggins was going to be on the move, let's say tonight, you know, there's certain things like just tie the first round pick in there. Let's get more veteran guys back so we know what we got, and they can either come off the bench or be a role player, be that fourth and fifth starter that are role players to the top three that we get. Or, yeah, man, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted, like, even like getting the first pick, like if we trade Wiggins for the potential first pick, you go, okay, but then you got to wait a couple years, and that's something we've been doing for a while, and, you know. So it's like I'd rather have Lowry and Miles and some other guy that could come off the bench or something like that, or maybe then get a second rounder that we can develop, and it's your third guy in, you know, in the whole package deal or something like that. So, yeah, I you know, it is a risk, man. It is the drafting is a risk. I mean, sometimes it's pretty easy or whatever, but perfect example, you know, being the second pick, you know, for years, the Timberwolves just couldn't get the first pick. They just couldn't do it. They're in the, they have plenty of lottery balls, but just for whatever the fuck reason, we just couldn't do it. And then we finally, we got like the second, we're like, all right. And it was Derek Williams. And I was like, yes, dude. Like Derek Williams to me was a can't miss. Yeah, I know he was a tweener, but to me he was can't miss. And now it seems like he can't make, you know, instead of can't miss, he can't make. Like it's, I couldn't believe that guy. I watched his career at Arizona. I was down. I was so happy when, you know, the first pick was taken. I'm like, oh dude, we got him, you know? And so it is kind of a crapshoot. You know, we were talking about how the second round, late first round, but especially the second round, is the veteran dudes, the guys that, you know, the guys that have tried and true, you've probably seen them over and over again. We were just talking about that. Look at the first, look at the first couple of picks in the second round. Javon Carter from West Virginia, defense slasher. I could tell you his game. Jalen Brunson, right? Villanova. I know you could tell his game because you played against him. Devontae Graham, you know, a guy that we know very well. It's funny how we talked about it, and it's just so – it happens all the time how juniors and seniors people just feel like, well, the reason why he's going in the draft as a junior is because of the potential is not there and the ceiling and whatnot. So it does kind of funny how that worked. The big ragu going to Milwaukee. They need a guard to kind of take the pressure off, do it all over there. The Greek Freak. That could be interesting. I like Lonnie Walker, not just because I'm a Miami Hurricane fan, because as you know, that's a college football fan, not a college basketball. Yep. But I think he fits that San Antonio mold very well. That guy has a lot of potential, hard-nosed dude. I think he could play a couple different positions. I really like that. As far as from the hometown look of things, the angle for Minnesota Timberwolves at the 20th pick did pick wait a second. Okay. For a second there, I thought he got traded. I was like, what? Josh, he's not on the team anymore. Okay, no, that was just that was a stat of how we got it, because we did get this pick from OK City through all these picks and stuff like that, through the trade last year. So we ended up getting him. But you look at this guy, and I don't remember a ton of his games, Okogie, but he's a guy that, kind of fits the mold of the 3-and-D that we hear now so much. A guy that can hit the three. He doesn't, for a shooting guard in the NBA, he doesn't have handles, something he's got to work on as a shooting guard. He doesn't have that, I'm going to get my own shot. But I feel like we have those guys on the squad already. What he does do well, he shoots like, I think he shot 38% from three or whatever. But his best shots, and I think they said like 25 or 30% of his threes, came from the sitting there a guy. You know, that's his bread and butter. Like, let me, just sit there and catch and shoot. Catch and shoot. And we need a catch and shoot guy. It kind of feels like he's that defensive hard-nosed dude. Big kid, long arm, 6'5" at shooting guard. That's pretty damn good. So I do, who knows? He may be thrown in a trade later. You never know. But I do like what Timberwolves did there, and I am glad they didn't take Grayson Allen. A pick later, he went to Utah, and if we're looking at stereotypical things, we're looking at certain certain demographics, certain belief systems. That's a good fit for Utah, although they should look at him like this bad villain dude, if you're being honest. But we all know why he probably wouldn't be looking at that way. I was thinking we were maybe going to go with Wagner from Michigan. I also think long, lanky kid that can hit that three. But I'll tell you what, because Wiggins, and why can't I think of his name? Starting point guard. I cannot.
Teague,
thank you. Because they've been tied together so much, I really thought the Timberwolves would go with Aaron Holiday. That's who I thought they were going to go with. Once we started getting closer to it,
sure.
Not necessarily. I actually thought he'd be gone a little earlier. Indiana, who had a good first-round showing anyway, didn't necessarily have a great season or anything like that. He went there. It's the third Holiday in the league now. In fact, I guess
he's brothers with Drew.
Yeah, and there's two others with Drew, and then the third too. So,
okay.
So I thought they'd go with him. That's who I thought, and I would have been okay with that. Now, does that mean? What's that mean? That Teague's not going to be on the move? I don't really know exactly what that means, but just kind of give him my 2 cents on that. I do like the pick that my Minnesota Timberwolves selected, but I did think, and maybe this will come back to burn us, Aaron Holiday. But obviously, you know, if Jones and Teague are still there, then we're not going to need a point guard per se.
Sure.
Any other things you want to talk about? I know right when I was talking, you were about to say something. You could say that, or you want to start talking about something else as far as the end of the first round or early second or any other kind of points?
Yeah, I was simply just going to ask you what you thought about your pick of Okogie. I do remember that, you know, obviously Carolina's my team, but I would like kind of like to check just the ACC like website for always like box scores, and I remember seeing his name. His name was always there. That dude. I mean, every time I would see Georgia Tech, it'd always be Okogie, and it'd be a pretty full stat line. So I can't say I saw the guy play much because again, they're not Duke, Carolina, or NC State or anything. But I mean, that
was all
dude.
Purpose,
I
though. You're right. It does
yeah,
sound like
I remember his name because it was always there for Georgia Tech. So I think you're getting a guy that you know is well rounded, plays defense, and all that. So I you know, fingers crossed. We'll see. The one thing I was going to say for just kind of a simple rant, because, I mean, like the Dubs, they took Jacob Evans for Cincinnati. I mean, I'm sure the guy plays great defense because he's from Cincinnati.
Well,
he's a strong forward.
So he shouldn't get too many penalties. You know, he shouldn't get kicked out of the game or anything, you know?
Yeah, and you know, we've had David West and, you know, and McGee. I mean, you know, those guys are getting older, you know, so you get a little young blood in there and stuff. And actually, one really quick story. I was listening to the Warriors podcast from Coach Kerr, and they were talking about free agency coming up. And I guess this past, like, before this championship year, I guess Andre Iguodala, I guess he's a jokester, he put Kerr and the GM Bob Myers on the phone and, like, told him that he was going to Sacramento and he was like, thanking them for his time. And I guess he did it for, like, about 5 seconds and said, no, I'm coming back, guys, just to punk him. So then they were like, well, did you fall for it? And Kerr's like, for about 5 seconds, I thought he pulled my leg pretty good, and Iggy's like, nah, I'm coming back. Just a quick Golden State story, but that team's a bunch of characters, so I think Jacob Evans will be happy to go there, and again, you're just maybe getting a little bit of a better bench, which that what that team needs. I mean, you got Durant and Clay and Dre and all those guys that they're coming back, but the bench this year was, I would say, below average for a team that wants to be a strong contender. So hopefully he'll fit that build, because I guess they didn't offer like Looney enough money initially, and he's going to be walking out the door, which kind of sucks because that Looney's an incredibly talented athlete.
He's starting to really come on this year too.
Yeah, I know. I my buddy was telling me something about how they should have made a different type of deal with him or offered him more money, and he was saying they didn't, so he's probably heading out the door, which sucks. He's a dude that was guarding people, and like you said, rebounds, points, just an incredibly athletic guy. So maybe they can pull some strings there, I'm not sure. But my one point was going to be, you know, and I get the ESPN's got to do stuff nowadays to make the draft all, like, fun and hypey and all that stuff, but this whole, Chris, when they draft a player and then they have to do, whether it's Chauncey Billups actually doing this or if this is pre-scripted from the ESPN people, but about how compare this player to who they think they're going to be in the NBA. Can we just get rid of that damn segment? It is so stupid. And because they almost have to make it to where, like, you know, for Trae Young, it's like Steph Curry. It's like, well, come on now.
Yeah,
and then
it comes all the way down to, like, the body type and obviously skin color once in a while too. But
yeah,
especially the body. I agree with that.
And Grayson Allen was like Bob Sura, some black guy I've never even heard of. I'm like, how did you find him for Grayson Allen? I mean, they almost never go like
switched it up though, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at least they went cross skin color. But that thing where, and then like the Porter Jr. for Denver, the guy we talked about a little bit earlier, is like, well, he's a Kevin Durant. It's like, what? I mean, it's
right.
That's a part of the segment where I kind of wish they would just like let it go. You know, just do like the NFL does. Show some video clips of the kid like doing some highlights from his, you know, from his run and playing college ball, and then just go from there. But you know, I mean, for over on the draft, I will say, Chris, I remember when we did this podcast, I want to say 2 years ago, I would say that maybe 40% of the draft was all foreign people. because I remember talking to you before. It was either before our podcast or after. And I was like, dude, like, oh, look at all this. Like, look at all the foreign kids drafted. And this year, when you go through the first round, I mean, it's 29th pick. I mean, the second pick. I mean, you know, for out of the first 30 people, only two didn't go to a college. And I guess you can consider Anthony Simmons a USA product, so that's not foreign. He didn't go to a college. But so we went 2 years ago, we had like 13 kids that I believe, and don't quote me on that, but it's a pretty rough guess, but 12 or 13 kids go round one from a foreign country. And now we had two this year. So I'm not – maybe this was just a down year for overseas talent. I mean, you can't look in the NBA and say that, like, a guy like Porzingis is, like, not been a good player. Like, not that these overseas picks are stupid or anything, because they've turned out. But it just seems a little weird to me, I guess, of the staggering amount of people that were drafted from college, because there normally is that time in the draft, Chris, where you see some guy get drafted from overseas and – everyone at ESPN loves him, and you're kind of like, huh, I wonder how this guy's going to turn out to be. I mean, I know that they got that love for Doncic this year, but I'm surprised there was only two of them. I guess I don't really have the stats to back it up, so I'm not really asking you a question. I'm more so just kind of like, huh.
I do remember, though, the string of drafts in a row where there was a ton of them. So I hear
yeah.
what you're saying.
It's just, I guess it's just
it was early
like,
on when we started doing the show. You are
yeah,
correct about
kind,
that. I
kind of like
recall.
a rhetorical rant here, but just seeing college guy, it's like, huh, maybe this was a down year. Maybe I don't know. Maybe some teams are skeptical of drafting foreign players because everyone's like, you do hear the thing of, well, does the guy want to come over here now? Yeah, I don't know. But I just thought that was a little bit surprising. I will say, you'd mentioned DiVincenzo. I'm calling him a bust. So I will go on the record. I think that was a bad pick for Milwaukee. I think he's one of those guys that was just going to turn out to be good in college, but won't be good in the pros. I think he was showcased in Villanova for having some good runs in the tournaments, but I think he is just one of those guys that is just was a good shooter when it mattered in March Madness, but I don't think his game will translate.
He reminds
so I got,
me of John Stockton. He's
so
like
got,
an Italian John Stockton. Yeah.
Yeah, let me find the closest rep guy I can make of someone with the same skin color and neon. But, yeah, so that one I was like, I guess. But, again, then a lot of these people, like the
I don't
Boston
know, though.
College
I hear you. I hear you. It may have been a little high, but I think it's a right fit, though. I guess that's what
okay.
I would say. For what he can, for what they're going to ask him to do, I believe he can do. He can potentially do that. Here's a perfect example. When I talk about, having 2 years for these players and having that, that certain freshmen can go if they get that draft advisory thing. Gary Trent Jr., local ties, Minnesota, out of Duke, second round, not a guaranteed contract. Seventh pick in the second round. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, you might as well just stay. Like, now he could turn out to be a fine player.
Sure.
But why, it's the only thing about the NBA. It's just like, nah, dude. What are you going to say, though? I'll let you finish your thought, and then we'll probably shut it down here.
Oh, yeah. Well, though, I was just going to add on to you, brother, and say, that's tough for a second round because those contracts aren't guaranteed. I know that we get that, but maybe if you're new to basketball or don't follow it super closely or, you're new to the draft or whatever, like the first-round picks, those guys are at least like a guaranteed contract. Those second-round pick guys, there's no guarantee they're, going to be on the starting roster when the season starts. Like, you got nothing guaranteed there. So I think that is why a guy like Luke May for Carolina, and I'm realistic. I know the guy's not going to ever be like a flat-out stud in the NBA, but he had a couple of good years at Carolina, so he went to the draft camp stuff, and the scouts like, dude, you're maybe a second-round pick at best. He's like, screw it, I'm going back to Carolina, whether to enjoy another season or maybe improve on some things that he could improve on to maybe make himself a better prospect. But you're right, Chris, those second-round picks.
Yeah, we got a Gopher
I mean,
player doing the same thing. It's almost like showing the scouts something. They tell you what to new improve, and then the next year come there and you can show what you've improved on. So –
Oh yeah, and lastly, though, I did see that it was ESPN a couple of days ago, maybe it was a week ago, but I saw some rumors that they think that the the one and done rule is going to be gone by like 2021 or 22. So it's going to be drifting away. So it'll be back to just, you know, I believe that was said with the intention of you can take it out of high school again. I believe it was one and done. Now, granted, this is a new story that was just me at the end of one day.
It's,
you know,
like that might be in there, but it may be a deal where that means you got to stay. It kind of like
or stay for two
baseball, where they
sure.
you have to stay the junior year. I think they're still going to try to implement both, where they can meet the players' union and say, hey. It is true, dude. Like, if you're ready to go, you should be able to go. This is in any other thing in our country, you should be able to do this. So I do get
sure.
that. There are some guys like that. But I hope on the back end they do. But if you do go, and then they can still put in that waiver system. It'd be no difference, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And it is funny. I mentioned like all the people going in the second round are just all like blue collar people. You know, it's like dudes that are going to grit, grind, do all they can to make the team because they're going to play good defense. And, like, a lot of them are the four-year seniors, like that Javon Carter. And, you know, like, dude, how would you not want to have a guy like that on your team? Like, he's just bust his butt his whole career. So we'll see. I'm good, brother. Do your Wolves have a second-round pick? They do, don't they, or no?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Okay, that 54th, I see. So I wish you well there. Last question I'll ask you to wrap the show. Did you expect to see on Twitter tonight saying that Wiggins was traded? Like, from your 1 to 100, was it like at a 10% chance you thought there might be a big deal tonight? Or were you kind of thinking it would go down or just had no faith or anywhere in between?
I had some maybes, but I just didn't think we had a high enough pick to package for him.
Okay.
For him. Involved,
gotcha.
So there wouldn't be really any reason to trade him on draft night if we weren't going to go up and get the number one pick, or if we, let's say we were seventh or whatever, and then we'd at least have a higher one so we could give something to them right now. So
sure.
I guess that's why I didn't really think that it was going to happen tonight, but I definitely was, you know, keeping my eye on it, just like, you know, on a daily basis or whatever, a couple days go by and you start to hear a rumor about this or that or Lowry or, you know, a lot of different things have been thrown around. And just a reminder to the listeners, we have some more content for you left, okay? You know,
we
start this NBA show in April, but all together, me and Marshall, we start late August. It's called the College Ball Show, right? Starts with college football, goes all the way to January. Then we keep that college ball show going. It just, we switch it to basketball in January after the national championship game. January, February, March, April, national championship for college basketball. That's the college ball show. Then we move it to the NBA Playoff Banter podcast and the NBA in general, which is obviously what we're on now. April, May, so the NBA playoffs all the way through the finals. This is another show. And if you look at the timing, it's actually going to be pushed out a little bit further than it has in early July. So we'll probably do a preview show and a post-free agent show. But just a reminder to stay with us for two more shows because we'll probably do a preview NBA free agency. Now that I start looking at the time frame,
mm-hmm.
I think we should do a preview. And then we'll do a post-free agency because obviously it's going to be pretty damn active this year, to say the least. Whether it's trades or, you know, LeBron and there's a ton of them this year. So
yeah,
I just wanted the fans to know that, you know, we still have a couple more left. Then we'll be taking like a six week hiatus, and then we'll be back with college football. But we're on NBA basketball all the way, not just the draft, but we have two more shows left through free agency. So I did want to express that, to make sure the fans stay with us.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I was confusing my logos. The Wolves got the 48th pick. The 54th is the Mavs. I was looking quick. I saw blue and white, but a Mavs,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I started looking like, did we trade back? What happened?
Oh, what the hell are the Wolves doing? What's my co-host saying now? My bad. Chris and I will be back, hopefully with some better vision for my computer. To do the free agency show, because like you said, that's going to be nuts. Kawhi's wanting out, which seems to be pretty damn close to being true. and Popovich is doing his thing because, you know, I, who knows? And LeBron and my God, and what will go on from there. So until then, hopefully you enjoyed the draft. Hopefully your teams took people that you enjoyed. Hopefully they didn't take many Duke players. I saw freaking Sacramento. I think they took Gary Trent too. So they took Gary Trent and Ingram. Or no, not Ingram. The whoever's
Carter.
Yeah, I'm drunk. Parker. Yeah, I mean, well, the second overall pick tonight, they took
Bagley.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems like they draft Dukies every year. So I don't know. Ever since DeMarcus Cousins left, it's like a Duke overflow. But anyways, we'll be back soon. We will have basketball to talk about, and offseason is going to be just insane. Where will LeBron go? LeBron Gate starts now, and I'll be in the news for the next 3 weeks until he picks a place. So until then, thanks for always listening. We love the support. College football is not too far away, as my friend said, and the boys will be back soon. Have a good night. Enjoy your weekend. We're out. Peace.